Very fucking unprofessional.
Photo maybe, I drive anything. Buy my rings, make them go insane. DJ Eskimo City.
I got a halo, I level up every time God says so. Shoot on Pharaoh, looking like Pancho, looking like Pedro. When the street from Tarzan, 10 dividend go grow when I say grow. Kung Fu Kenny with the Midas touch. Ain't no penny that I don't touch. Y'all my enemy bite on dust. Ain't no talking when it's fatal. Having hard, I can't tell. Half of y'all might need help. I might fall in Rodale, bitch. I might ball and not strail. I might call a full rail. All I ask go unveil. Wind blows in the windows and I smack in with a big glow. She got me like tinfo. No, it's info. Plan them. Gotta look at self and ask what happened. How y'all let a conscious nigga go commercial while only making conscious albums? How y'all let the braids on TV? How y'all let the hood at the table? Now y'all don't even know how to rate them. Niggas looking like I'm a creative player. Everybody who didn't pay respect, gotta fess up now and pay your debts. Gotta lay something down to make a threat. Gotta say something now, don't hold your breath. How you mean I ain't floating? I got the salt, got the potion. I got them all like emotions and emotions. I put career in the Goshens and put the body in the ocean. I made an oath when my nigga told me to go in. Then he died on a cold bench. All my old friends living life on a slow end. Gotta keep shit rolling. It's deep.
It's deep.
It's deep. It's deep.
I done fucked so much I can't sleep.
I
done fucked so much I'm retired. I'm about to live my life through day three. She said she broke down when Prince died.
It's all right.
Bitch, my hair down. Prince lived through me.
I live
get
my jack too, don't forget that.
Inspired. You know how many bodies in the street.
Many,
take
many.
The mask off so you can see.
Come on now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Now I ain't been rushing to get straight into all this shit, you know what I mean? I got a lot of things going on right now, but we here now.
I get mad suited, I got this bad thing.
You heard the opinions of everybody else on this shit. Now you know where to come. I'm professional as fuck, man. Let's get straight to it.
Everywhere I go, I'm screwed up. I know my Texas niggas got my back and that's for sure though. Sipping on Instagram like
stank. Shout out to everybody driving to work right now, handling their business.
I know them boys say they getting to the money over there, baby, trust me.
Listening in your free time, extra thank you to y'all.
I put charisma in my lingo when she fell.
Turn this shit up.
I gave her realness and that's all she gon' get from me. On the five superstar, I'm straight up out the hood. I just did a dose of Percocets with some strippers.
Got a whole lot to talk about today.
I just pour this lean in my cup like it's looking.
Got a civil war of some sorts, you know what I mean, happening right now in the world of hip hop, rap, whatever the fuck you want
to
call it.
I just try acid for the first time, I feel good. Treasure brain, misery, codeine in my delivery. I pulled up in a big beat. Like
I know some people right now listening to this like rug opening with some Future. Hey man, end of the hour. Let's get straight to it though. You know I got some shit going on today. The wifey finna be home in a minute. Definitely wanna get in some quality time. So with that being said, let's get straight to the motherfucking action, man.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
Civil War slaps. Like I said, if by now you haven't heard the latest Future and Kendrick Lamar collaboration, you're not only living under a rock, you might be buried by boulders. On some real shit, this Future and Metro Boomin collaborative album, We Don't Trust You, dropped last Friday. Now you know where we at. You know, by the time y'all listen to this, it's probably going to be Thursday of the following week, so you're damn near a weekend with the project. The numbers are looking ridiculous as of now. It seems like it's only going to go up from here. Let's just talk about it. So what you can expect project-wise, you know, Future got the ears of a lot of people, cult following for sure. With the summer getting ready to gear up as we enter spring, you know, the weather's getting better. Seems like he's right on schedule, right? As far as Metro Boomin, this guy's just continuing the run that he's been on, you know, reign of terror, to say the absolute least. All the way back to, what was it, last December, I believe, right? So let's just talk about it. The world, you know what I mean, is directly going to the Like That collaboration. For those of y'all who don't know, that is the Kendrick Lamar feature on this album. It's important to note that back when this, you know, album was kind of being discussed, Metro and Future were going around and they were playing one-offs, you know, kind of teasing a record that they thought was going to be, you know, Song of the Summer. We also seen, I think it was Rolling Loud where Travis Scott had Future and Metro out there or vice versa. Maybe Trav came out on their set. Trav's like, yo, play the new joint. Then you hear the beginning of what this Like That track is, right? I remember seeing it, instantly knowing what I was hearing. I'm an old school Rodney Owen and Joe Cooley fan, so when I hear the Everlasting bass sample, knowing that Metro is going to be the one at the, you know, at the sticks, handling how that's actually produced, knowing that Future is good, you give him a beat like that, he's going to knock it out the park. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't listen on Thursday night. I woke up that Friday morning, and as I always do, I start looking through Tidal. I see what's new, you know what I mean? What just dropped? Bam, this, bam, that. There's a whole lot of shit going on. A lot of R&B albums. I've been waiting for the Sir album for some time. We'll talk about that eventually. But I see the Future album. I'm like, all right. Usually, I'm going to go through, look through the credits, look through everything, right? Try to see, you know, what's going on. Because as of the time that it was dropping, they didn't really talk about any of the features on the album. It wasn't really listed. I'm letting it go. Track one, all right, you know, it's cool. Of all the albums that had dropped, I felt like maybe the We Don't Trust You album lended itself to, you know, starting your morning off right, better than the others, you know, some R&B shit. I wanted, you know, gear up, get going. Get ready, get the energy levels right. I'm letting it play, though. Man. No, track one, track two. Now, at this point, I am starting to look at the credits. Because you can go to Tidal, you can search credits, and you can see, you know, okay, which feature, who's the composer, who's the lyricist on this joint, producers, whatever it may be, right? I see Kendrick Lamar's name. Instantly, I'm like, oh, shit. K-Dot on this motherfucker. Okay. Now, did I expect that you know, this collaboration was also going to be used as firing range? Absolutely not. But I still let the album play. I don't, you know, fast forward straight to the track with K-Dot. I'm just letting it rock. Then when I know by, you know, album positioning, when I know that this track was the one that had his name attached, and I hear the beginning of this joint, and it's the Everlasting bass sample. God. That's when I knew something was going on. They've had the collabs. You know, we just played the Mask On, Mask Off remix. It was that. I'm sure that there might be other shit floating around. But when I hear this beat and know that Kendrick Lamar, a fresh Kendrick Lamar on his own, right? No longer affiliated with the TDE crew. I'm like, okay, what do we got here? Now, not only did this track steal the show of the album, but it was just driving eyes over to a very solid project. I'll say it myself as I'd be exaggerating if I said a casual Future fan. What the feezy? To me, I have my, you know, my reasoning for not really being a fan of some shit. When everything in your music is glorifying drugs and, you know, all this, you know, big pharma, you know what I mean? Literally. Miley Percocet, and I know the two songs that I play today are definitely not indicative of that belief, but I just, you know, to me, if it's something that you do and you add it to your music, who am I to tell you no? When all the, you know, people who were smartened up or of the mindset that you are very straight and narrow, you don't really fuck with none of those substances, yet you know the effect that you have on the youth and you want to use that as the narrative that you're driving, it just kind of, you know, that pisses me off, but it's not the time for that. It's been a rumor that the honeymoon phase had been over for some time between Future and Drake. Kendrick and Drake, you know where that's been for the longest. But I wouldn't have guessed that they were going to allow Kendrick to hop on this album, hop on this track, and fire off the way that he did. Recently, especially with this quote-unquote Big Three, the subliminals have been, you know, the method as far as how the beef has been delivered. This time, the gloves were taken off. I really don't think that Kendrick liked this whole grouping up, you know, the tour now with Cole and with Drake and seeing these guys together and hearing the back and forth, you know, just bigging up of each other or not, depending on how you look at it. I'll talk about that in the upcoming moments. But I guess it wouldn't make sense to continue talking any further if I didn't give you the talking piece. So with that being said, Universal Music Group, please, man, y'all watch the fuck out, bro. I'm out here just trying to do honest work, yerp. This is it. The verse is setting the world on fire. Drake, Metro, excuse me.
Yep.
Wrong. Metro Boomin, Future, Kendrick Lamar, off the We Don't Trust You album, Like That. You know I'm going straight to the Kendrick verse. Here go.
These niggas talking out of their neck. Don't put no coffin out of your mouth. I'm way too paranoid for a threat. Hey, let's get it, bro. D.O.T., the money, power, respect.
The last one is better.
Say, it's a lot of goofies with a check.
I mean,
I hold them sentiments symbolic. Oh, my temperament bipolar, I choose violence. Okay, let's get it up. It's time for him to prove that he's a problem. Niggas clicking up, but pay not be legit. No 40 water, tell him. Aw, yeah, yeah, get up with me. Fuck sneak dissing, first person shooter. I hope they came with three switches. I crash out like fuck rap. This Melly Mel if I had to. Got two T's with me. I'm snatching chains and burning tattoos. It's up, lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. If he walk around with that stick, it ain't Andre 3K. Think I won't drop the location. I still got PTSD. Motherfuck the big three. Nigga, it's just big me. Nigga, boom. I'm really like that. And your best work is a light pack. Nigga, Prince outlived Mike Jack. Nigga, boom. For all your dogs getting buried, that's a K with all these nines. He gon' see Pet Cemetery. Nigga, boom.
Dope, dealer selling dope. Is you like that? Kicking doors, kicking in doors. Is you like
that? Is you like that too, being the chorus on this joint. Come on. You know what the fucking is right now, right? This verse was like Kanye West's quote-unquote wife's choice of attire, right? Nothing left to the imagination. Straight to it. First-person shooter. Y'all better come with three switches. This, that, and the other. No big three. It's just big me. Okay. Now, I want to talk about the verse right now just in the fact of Kendrick Lamar as far as his caliber of verses and where I would rank it. Rather than, you know, better than this or you know, not as dope as that. I'm just going to say that as far as what we are used to from Kendrick Lamar, as far as lyric, you know, ability, lyricism, regardless of whether you're talking about something that could go into a, you know, a play in theater, which he does quite often, or just a straight direct when he starts taking shots, you know, Big Sean has felt it, Drake many of times, but it, you know, the subliminals are subliminals. When you get straight to it now and you're letting people know, on one of the biggest albums of the summer of the year thus far, right? With somebody who was highly active and collaborative with Drake. We're talking about an album. I'm sure they've toured plenty of different collaborations. Some of each other's biggest songs. Now Kendrick comes out here and he's like, fuck the big three. I've heard what y'all been saying. I see all this, you know, we are the Spider-Man meme. All that shit, right? Now, there's a lot more subliminals that I guess people are attributing from Cole to Kendrick Lamar that I wasn't privy to. Kind of made me a little bit, like, upset because usually I pride myself in kind of being in tune with what's going on. But some of these joints that have been going back very fucking far, where I just think, you know, in the mindset of a rapper who cares about rapping, coming for the top spot no matter who occupies it regardless right now, that's somebody who really, really rap. You're going to hear bars like that more often than not, and it could have a name attached to it. Could there be a name on the bullet? Of course. But regardless, those shots are going off. Whether it's a warning shot or whether you're just trying to, you know, demobilize somebody, right? Now, I wasn't fully versed. Like I said, it caught me off guard, kind of upset me. I'll say it again. I just looked at this whole love affair between Cole and Drake kind of as like the one blemish on Cole's jacket for me. And I've been feeling that way for some time now. Not in no hater mode. Not like, hey, man, why of everybody would you align with Drake? I get it. The man isn't only definitely up there as far as the top contributors in this game right now. Whether you like his music or not, you would have to be a fucking fool and very naive to not, you know, understand the fact that music that he makes is going to continue to move the needle and in one way or another positively affect anybody who's putting out music. I would kind of, you know, try to liken it to the realm of podcasting just to, you know, make it a little closer to home. As far as mainstream success, you look at a Joe Rogan. This guy is able to get fucking baseball type contracts, right? These crazy ass, nearly half a fucking $1 billion contracts for what he does. Now, there's two ways you could look at that. Could you be somebody else who's highly successful and be like, oh, you know, now I know where my bar is at. I know what I'm willing to accept. I know what that brings to the table. I know what the next person's going to do to try to find the competitor to such a show. Obviously, that's a positive way of looking at it. Then there's the haters. Oh, you know, it's because, you know, he's white or he has these political ties or, you know, UFC or whatever. This guy's been successful, whatever the fuck he's done, for a while now, and I don't 100% agree with everything he does, but I do feel like he gives people the runway to land or take their plane off however they, which choose. So with that, you can't be mad, right? Now, music. We'll talk about Drake and his active, you know, his activeness as of late, the activity you've been seeing from this guy, the clip that he's been unloading that, right? There was definitely a switch on his releases dating back to 2021 to where we are today. Tours as well, you know, a lot of people attribute that to the fact that this guy got that huge deal with the undisclosed amount, rumored to be Joe Rogan type numbers, right? But in music, the reason why that kind of, you can look at it one way, either that's even a bigger, you know, praise that needs to be attached to that based on where the music game is right now, the music business as a whole, or you could look at it like, okay, well, this is kind of like when they give Stephen A. a bunch of money at ESPN. They also say in that contract, well, Stephen A., if anybody turns on ESPN from fucking 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, they're going to see some version of you or a show of you or you appearing on a show. You're going to have to work. Is that why we got so many albums? Is that why the tour and then the announcement of I'm going to take a break turns into, oh, we missed some dates, we're going to catch those up, now we got Cole with us, now we're, you know, the tour is touring again? I don't know. But it really don't fucking matter. If the money is there on the table for you to get it now while you're young, while you're able, while you're still, you know, the center of attention for a game that's very fickle as far as music in general and then even more so rap and hip-hop, then who the fuck could hate on you for going out and trying to do all that you can? But when you add Cole to the tour, now this love affair, like I said, the blemish on the jacket, and the reason why I say that is because although this guy continues to give you quote-unquote praise and any opportunity he gets, right, a speech every damn tour date, it looks like backhanded compliments to me, to say the fucking least. People look at it like, oh, you know, he's bigging up Cole. You hear people in the crowd of the fans, you know what I mean? They're cheering. They get louder. Yeah, yeah. But if you really listen to what this guy is saying, to me, it seems like he's sunning him. And you allow that shit to happen when you join a guy's tour in the midst of putting out your own album with your own festival that you have, that you created in your hometown. You got other shit on the table. I've always given Cole the nod and the leg up on these other two and the quote-unquote big three for the fact that he's the only person who's been able to take that and build underneath him and around him. Stars on a camp that is his, that aren't just introduced and used and then, you know, thrown by the wayside. They become stars in their own right. Talk J.I.D., talk Boss, talk Ari Lennox, talk Earth Gang, talk whoever you want to talk about, Omen. Go up and down the list, right? This guy's got artists from all over the country making quality music of all different type of varieties and becoming successful under the Dreamville umbrella. Never heard of Drake trying to even amass some type of a group like that. Of course, he's happy to be part of Cash Money, Young Money. Is that still the case? Is this new business deal or new contract that he's got making it to where no longer is that a part of the pie? Or maybe just a very thin slice on what is this this pie of, you know, all the hands that are in on this Drake success? And that's been the case from the beginning. You see Jay Prince being very active in everything that goes on with this guy, shutting down certain beasts before they're able to reach their peak. Of course, Baby wants, you know, his money. Wayne, you want, if you're so-called the head of that label that's attached to a label, that's ran by a label, and I'm sure you want your piece of the pie as well. Interesting now that you see Lil Wayne join the tour and he is a act on the tour, not the closer. Of course, Drake is the one who they bought the ticket with his name on it and went out to go see his show. But maybe that's just very telling of the generations and the age group of the people who are headed out there. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure he transcends a lot of different demographics. But, you know, a report came out about Drake being upset with the response to Lil Wayne's set. Well, put the guy in position to look like he's supposed to be the main attraction. You got this guy coming out filling in for spots that Cole can no longer be on because he's off doing his album, he's off doing his festival, he's doing his thing. So now not only are you sending J. Cole, but with all this love that you got for Wayne and all this admiration that you throw his way, I think it's even more of a shade for you to be out here yelling at fans. That's some shit that you shouldn't even have to address. And if you do, whether it's with a, you know, good intentions or not, it comes off a way. Now, I don't know what's going on with Wayne, but that's very indicative of his contracts, right? Why at this point in your career, being who you are, with the acts that you've signed and have underneath you, are you still over here having to tour the way that you do, hopping on certain dates the way that you do, and getting that type of response? I don't know. That's off topic. None of my concern at this point. But when you start talking about the battle lines being drawn, you got to think at all the different pieces of ammo and what every little accessory and the artillery that these guys have when these battle lines are being drawn. This year, maybe 18 months now, Cole has stepped out, pat himself on the back, made sure to try to put himself at that pedestal where the other two were definitely not, and for obvious reasons, like you said, like I say. When it comes to rap and when it comes to people who have a passion for this thing, it becomes very competitive in a way that might be off-putting to others. It's really not the intention. I can say that personally. But when I come on a song and I start rapping about rap, which I do far more often than I would like to admit, it comes from a place of, nah, you know what I mean? You're going to tell me, you're going to have to show me that I'm not where I believe I am. Exactly the same way the rap is, especially when you talk about these mainstream artists who have this cult following and all the success that they do. The subs at Kendrick Lamar, I guess, have been coming very often and for some time now for a guy like J. Cole. Even recent snippets of the Fall Off project, or what is possible project pieces for him to Fall Off, a lot of the same. And now that all this is being put in perspective and getting thrown together on all these think pieces, it's starting to make a little bit more sense. Don't get me wrong. In some instances, I feel like people are reaching. In some, it looks like they might, you know, have done the science. Shout out to my brother EA, always putting me in position to win. This guy sent me a direct clip that explains it a lot better than I'm going to be able to do. So with that being said, it is a long clip, but I want to let this run. I will give credit to this shit in the description of the pod. This is the Cole Kendrick jabs. Some that I caught, some I did not. Whether y'all did or not, they're going to be displayed right here, so check it out.
Real rap beef is Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole, not Kendrick Lamar and Drake. Even though they've always been viewed as peers, Cole and Kendrick have been taking jabs at each other, going back and forth for years now. But let's jump right into the top of 2022 with Johnny P's Caddy, where many people initially believed J. Cole was dissing Benny the Butcher on his own song. However, Benny quickly denied those claims and suggested those shots may have actually been for someone else.
So the guys who everybody compare him with and put him in a rink with, like, to me, that's who he's talking to. You know what I'm saying?
But what were those shots exactly?
I'm probably gonna go to the hell if Jesus asked for a feature.
And which rapper often portrayed himself as Jesus? Cole then goes on to say,
some see the glass is empty. I see a glass full of ether. Collecting his blood and mass like he a Catholic preacher.
Which is clearly a callback to Kendrick's music video for Humble, where he's dressed as a Catholic preacher with an empty glass and bread sitting on the table. But Cole doesn't see an empty glass. He sees ether, referencing the famous Jay-Z and Nas beef. Now, a few months later, Kendrick released his album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, and on his song, Count Me Out, he had a little response for Cole.
Ain't nobody but the mirror looking for the fall off.
Now, I know this doesn't seem like a huge deal, but I think Cole heard that and decided to provoke the situation even more on Lil Yachty's The Secret Recipe.
Yes, niggas fake, progressive, and woke. I started saying less. I had to stop it. Peeped how they profit off of racial stress.
Cole continues to rap.
Studio steppers moving extra on songs fake and rep.
Clearly calling out Kendrick with the use of the word steppers for not living the message he portrays in his music. And then we get First Person Shooter, where Cole and Drake attempt to alienate Kendrick from the top of the rap game. He first makes a callback to Kendrick's Count Me Out, where he mentions the Fall Off.
I'm naming the album The Fall Off. It's pretty ironic, cause it ain't a fall off for me.
And then he once again uses the word steppers.
Everybody step is with fucking it. Everybody breakfast and I'm about to cut my plate.
Attempting to discredit Kendrick's spot next to himself and Drake. And then on J. Cole and Drake's next collaboration, Evil Ways, Cole takes another jab at Kendrick.
I stay out of beef, see niggas' DNA get rearranged.
Which is an obvious reference to Kendrick's song, DNA. But Cole still wasn't done there. On his recent leak, Might Delete Later, Cole rapped,
niggas swear they compare, but the truth humble. Nigga, fuck 112, you couldn't do numbers.
Obviously talking about the frequent comparisons between him and Kendrick, references his hit song Humble, and takes jabs at Kendrick for his lowest selling album ever. He then goes on to say,
I'm the one that niggas fear on the low ski. Heard them talking like we peers, but they grossly mistaken.
Which Joe Budden hit right on the head.
Kendrick talking shit to anybody in the world but a nigga named Jermaine.
And after all that, we finally got Kendrick's response.
Fuck the big three, nigga, it's just big me.
Now, I want to know, you know, which one of those y'all knew was a direct shot. I've heard some of them, obviously. The DNA one, I think, is kind of a stretch. Lightly mentioned, I mean, Humble, maybe 112. That bar don't even really make sense. So if that's actually what it sold, or references to some type of, you know, sales that were based around an album Kendrick dropped, then maybe I could feed into it a little bit more. The Johnny P's Caddy, I looked at that verse like that was just the beginning of this whole separate myself from these names you mentioned me with type hype. And where better than on another real rapper song, right? You got Benny with a dope ass beat. Everything was, you know, based around that. Benny ends up getting his first gold single. The first one for Griselda as a whole, did great things over there, right? On top of that, you know, some of these shits starting to make sense. Kendrick responses as well, right? Nobody checking for the fall off but the mirror, whatever it may be. I know that this guy had to slightly distort a lot of these songs that he was playing in order for the content to play somewhere, you know, somewhat like I have to do myself. But hey, appreciate that guy for putting that clip together and EA for sending it out to me at always. You know what I mean? My guy. But let's discuss it, man. Although, at least I can speak for myself, my focus in this exchange is obviously Cole and Kendrick. And the reason why it's that is because I feel like these two are the only ones who I regard in that way. Like, don't get me wrong, I just did a whole big synopsis on how Drake moves the needle for music. His importance cannot be denied, but for different reasons. Now, when you talk about hip-hop as it stands today, we just celebrated 50 years, and you see the difference of the stars of today versus the stars of yesteryear. Whether that has to do with the amount of money that's getting pumped into the game directly or just with how music contracts have always been developed in a predator-like manner. And when you're talking about all these different hands, they get a grip of some dollars before the artist 50 years ago. Of course, you know, there was a lot less to grab, which means by the time it gets to the actual art, or the creator of the art, the artist himself or herself or themselves, it's a smaller piece of a smaller pie, which just, you know, shows and reflects. Nowadays, with all the companies and organizations that were never trying to give us a nod, that looked at us like a phase, disrespected the hip hop culture as a whole, realizing that that is the popular art form of today in ways to where every advertisement that you see has a part of it in it. This noise, as they would call it in the past, has transcended to be highly sampled and duplicated, replicated, however you want to say it, across all genres. It just seems like right now it's more important than ever for the art and the artistic side of things to be highlighted, for the substance to be prioritized. And is that going to come from Drake at the amount that is needed in order to inspire the next generation of kids to do so? No. When kids aspire to be like Drake, they want to be the popular guy. They want to have the attention and, you know, be that dude, I guess, in some sense, right? When it comes to whatever the kids in high school right now are worried about, you first getting into liking the girls or whatnot, right? So now if he's got all the girls in a frenzy, that's kind of what you want to do. But you look at an artist like Cole, who has some of those same effects, Kendrick as well. these guys seem to prioritize the art form in a way that could be detrimental to their careers in some instances. Do they sell as much as Drake does on the first week? Maybe not. Are they close enough to be in that talk, in that discussion? Of course. Is anybody as successful in a big picture state of things than Cole? To me, no. We just talked about this guy has his own festival. We just talked about this guy, you know, opening the doors for young, other inspiring artists. Inspiring and aspiring. Sometimes you make a mistake that's right on point. But he's made stars of people who might not have otherwise ever had that outlet or been given that look. And that's something that you can't gloss over. But these two, when I talk about Kendrick and when I talk about Cole, are the real rappers of rap. I don't know how many years back I had a discussion with somebody who is, you know, a local rap lover. If they do listen to mainstream shit, it's a lot of those same traps that they fall into. And they're like, yo, who's the best rapper right now, right? Who are the best in the game right now? And my response years ago was either J. Lamar or Kendrick Cole. You know, kind of just putting them both in that same position, saying that's it. It depends on the style that you like. If you want the more easily digestible, and that's not even, you know, a slight at all, because that's a different type of art. For you to have the ability that you do lyrically and still be able to make it in a way that people are able to not look at it like, oh, this is just that rapidy rap over my head shit. I got to be, you know, put my head in the book in order to decipher what's going on here. Sometimes that loses people for you. That could lose an audience. That could drive people away from your product. Cole has that perfect balance in where he's able to feed the backpack rappers, you know, appetite as well as the masses. And does it in a very effortless way, which is a talent that cannot be glossed over at all. In my opinion, that takes just as much effort as the most lyrical artist that we could possibly have. When you talk about Kendrick Lamar, a big slide on him is the fact that he'll drop an album, disappear for half a decade, then pop back out. And the album that you get from him might not always be what it was that you were looking for at that moment. Look at his whole career. You got Good Kid, Mad City, instant classic, spoke about in that regard by more people than those who would disagree with that sentiment. From there to Pimp a Butterfly, I believe, is the next, right? Then you get a Damn. All the while, you know, there was this unreleased, unmastered project. And to me, that was so fucking dope. This shit didn't even have a title on it. But you listen to that, and if that's untitled, unmastered, unfinished, like, God, you know what I mean? That's just some other shit. That was like when Nas gave you the Lost Tapes, but even the Lost Tapes was put out like it was a project. This Untitled Unmastered was more so like, look, this is shit that I use as a throwaway. You know what I mean? Like, put that in perspective. So important for these two to go at it now, if anybody's going to go at it in this whole exchange. And my reasoning for that is because now it's going to be very apparent the difference in what they do versus what the other guy does. It's going to be very telling how these order of operations and how, you know, in chronological order, the responses come and from whom and how things happen following that. I'm going to get to that shortly. But as much as my focus is obviously on the Kendrick and Cole portions of things, a lot of people, a lot of just casual rap fans who tend to be those who follow with Drake in the future heavily, they feel like that is the bigger, you know, story in all of this, right? Why Drake? Why Future? Why these two? You know, what a time to be alive. You know, collaborative effort. You know, these guys did work on a bunch of albums together that got great songs. As recent as, you know, Future's last album, Never Liked You. A lot of people are breaking down these titles of albums and using that as part of the ammunition. I don't know. If that's the case, and this shit's been going on for damn near 3-4 years now, that would be news to me. But it just seemed like that separation of those two happened quicker and kind of more undercover than than a lot of people even spoke about. In the past, that position that 21 Savage has been in, as far as, you know, a protege to Kendrick, was occupied by Future. But when that separation came about and it was time to put another person in that seat, it's very telling that he goes right back to Atlanta, the region that has a stronghold on, you know, the needle right now as far as music, has for quite some time. And you get the young, you know, loved artists from over there that has a fan base as well. We shall see, man. It's not just fans out there that are speculating over this shit or that are drawing lines. Seems like as you know, stupid as it is to report on some shit like this, it's just funny that people are able to keep track of things like this and know when these follows and unfollows happen. Of all people in the world, Nav. Fucking Nav. What the feezy? You know, I got a lot of partners of a lot of different ethnicities and races, and I'm not going to ever try to clown a person based on that ever in any aspect of anything. I just feel like when I see this guy in the position that he was in or is in or whatever, you know, whatever success that he has gained and reached, and you know, that's to be acknowledged, and you can't just overlook that, and it's not something I'm trying to poke fun at. But it just seems like there's certain people who aren't used to scoring, and their celebrations when they get in the end zone are elaborate. That's one way to count, you know, to be able to decipher who's new here and who knew they would always be here. So when Nav, you know, is in the spotlight, I look at this guy and I kind of just laugh. Just the way that he delivers shit, his comfortability when he's doing it, it all just looked to me like, okay, this guy is very surprised. He's as surprised that he's in this position as the casual rap fan who knows little about him. Sounds like hate. I promise it ain't. So that was the first name that I heard about people who, you know, supposedly unfollowed Drake, which is crazy that people even know that. What was kind of a trip to me and caught me off guard was another name that was attached to this same type of story. Was Rick Ross. What the feezy? Now, Rick Ross, I don't know his affiliations with Future. I don't know how much work he's done with Metro Boomin. I guess I should have done a little bit of research on that. But I can tell you off the top of my head, a bunch of songs that he's done with Drake that have been highly successful, that have been one of those ones, you know what I mean? Every time you hear it, you're like, oh, shit. Whether you're a fan of either of them, it's just one of those undeniable, you know, classic tracks. So when they say Ross unfollows Drake, I'm looking at it like, what's the play here? I don't really see him working with Metro, and if I'm mistaken, then correct me, let me know. But I liken his music and his style and his beat selection and his choice of product to be one that you would see Drake be a feature on far before, you know, a Future. But hey, there's got to be some type of dynamic that comes into that. Is it the South thing? He's from Miami. They're from Atlanta. Is that playing a part in it? I don't know. Seemed kind of crazy to me. The Metro Boomin and Drake back and forth, I guess, you know, this stems from the release of Metro's album, Heroes and Villains. Like I said, that dropped in December of, 2023. Was that December 2020? No, I think that might have been 2022. Pretty sure, because I was out in Vegas when that shit was popping, and that was, you know, that was the soundtrack. It seems like the back and forth began when Metro was very vocal about the fact that his Heroes and Villains album wasn't getting the praise and the awards that the Her Loss album did from Drake and 21 Savage. Now, I could say, from my personal opinion, if I'm ranking those two albums together, I would definitely lean towards the Metro album. But you also got to think about all the different artists and all the different names and all the different, you know, collaborators that were on that joint. And kind of feel like maybe that gave it the obvious nod. But I just feel like as in totality, that whole Drake 21 Savage shit, there may have been a few things on it, but in total, I don't think it was received the same way from the masses, or at least those who I've been around, as the Heroes and Villains album. Now, once Metro expressed these type of things, whether it was on Twitter or whatever he did, and then eventually backtracked from it and said, you know, fuck it, maybe you're saying that in the moment. The emotions overcome you. Maybe you're out partying, whatever it may be. And then there's a point in time where you're like, oh, that just look a certain type of way. You go back and remove it. The tweeters and deleters, that became a thing, right? When Drake came out on his socials, made a video that went viral, talking about, you know, you make me sick. You make me sick to my stomach. Remember, I mean, I had the clip on the pod. I thought that shit was funny. But now, you see Metro as the album drops with all the, you know, all the steam that is behind the Metro and Future locomotive. And then he goes out and he tweets, once you pick a side, stay there. Which, that could be a broad statement spoken to the game as a whole, but it kind of puts my guy 21 Savage in a rough situation. 21 Savage is a guy who got a lot of his success and did a lot of his work with Metro, someone that Metro has been vocal about as being a real one in his life. When Metro recently went through the tragedy of losing his mother and was dealing with what he was dealing with, he said 21 was someone who was by his side, genuinely, not looking for any type of, you know, return on investment as far as his time was concerned. That is something that's going to stick with you. When somebody is willing to be lend you an ear, give you a shoulder, whatever it may be during the times when everything's not all happy, happy, party, party, those are those moments that stick with you and stay in your mind more than any memory of a dope party or, you know, a night here on the town or whatever it may be. Puts my guy, 21 Savage, in a very tough position. Still, you know, he just came off of the success of him and the Drake album. They were doing the tour together. Where is that going to end up? Still to be determined. Speculation that the beef between Future and Drake was over a female, as you know, a lot of these shits end up being when you really peel back all of it. Which, if that is the case, is even more hilarious than anything else that it could have been sparked from. It looks dumb as fuck to me. For one, with all the women who would happily throw themselves at you, and I guess that's just an assumption. I don't want to, you know, put that out there because I'm sure that there are some women who wouldn't take that type of bait. For y'all to be arguing over the same one, and for that to be the cause of a rift that divides two people who were highly successful whenever they got together, that just looks away. Looks funny as hell. Now, Metro came out and responded. He wanted to refute all those rumors that were going around. He was saying that people were using that for engagement on their posts and in their creation of content, however it was delivered, whether that be podcast, YouTube, TikTok, whatever, right? It's like, stop using that shit for engagement. All right. But then there were certain ladies who were being kind of attached to all this. People were throwing names out there. Pictures were floating around. And some people were saying, you know, there's been one that came out initially that has kind of been denied. And everybody said, okay, well, maybe we jumped the gun on that. That one was wrong. But now, seems to be another lady out there who I haven't tracked down. I don't know nothing about. I just hear that there may be another young lady who might actually be the link between all these drama. That, to me, crazy. Allegedly, it was some type of pillow talk, ultimately, that added fuel to the fire for Drake when he hears from somebody who him and Metro may have in common state something along the line of, yeah, you know, this guy, you know, he's been talking, whatever it may be. Maybe that gives Drake more ammo, more reason to then get vocal and say certain things. I don't know. To me, all this shit is dumb as fuck. But it's very talented as far as rappers and their egos are concerned. We look at these gentlemen like they're on, you know, have the world at their disposal, right? You know, on the top of the world, got all this shit going for them. And then you find out that they're just, at the end of the day, fragile egos and individuals who share not only ladies, but some of the same characteristics that you could say is partially ladylike, right? Now, we can go on forever about the subliminal song titles, samples being used to deliver messages, especially during this Metro and Future album. Seemed like every decision that was made, whether it was an interlude, a sample, or whatever vocals that were added to this joint, were very, very thought out, very precision-like as far as Metro is concerned. But rather than sit here and try to dissect everything that everyone's already spoke about, I feel like I want to just try to predict what may be the future. So that's the route I'm going to try to go with it. Of course, I'm not going to be 100% right on everything, but if I get, you know, the majority, if I put 3, 4, 5 projections out and 3 of them happen, then you can't tell me nothing, you know, extra diamonds. So that's where we're going to go with it. Now, before we get all the way into the predictions, I do want to discuss this Like That verse from Kendrick. I told you I was going to give my opinion on it, and although it's one of those things that's going to cause a moment in hip-hop, which Kendrick has been kind of known to do for some time, right? You think about the Control verse. Out the blue, out of nowhere, on a Big Sean song, goes at everybody, including Sean. He's the one who gets shit exciting. All right, y'all want to do subliminals. I may have, you know, played a part in that in the past, but now direct shot, no way to, you know, deny it. Put it all out on the forefront. For that aspect of things, definitely adds to, you know, the response, I guess you could say, to what he's done. But if you look at, you know, everything as far as the entire scope of what he actually put together and you know, recorded and then, you know, delivered on his joint, in terms of Kendrick and his abilities, to me, the shit's mid. And I say that because there's only a few things that stick out. The rest of it's kind of just performative. You see, you know, certain aspects of the song where you're like, okay, what does it mean? Maybe there's some things and some hidden lines in there that will only be able to kind of be acknowledged or known by the parties involved. That could be the case. Maybe that ain't even the full-on scope of things. Maybe it's just a trap. And why I say a trap, because that could be a very good tactic, right? You put something out where, yeah, you light the fire and you let somebody else come out like, oh, that's what you working with on 4th of July? Well, you know, let me light this. Then they come out and give you something that they think is going to be able to make people get off your block and not watch your 4th of July show. But then you're like, oh, yeah, you fell for that. Now watch, I got the whole fucking, you know, stadium fucking... I got the stadium-type fireworks ready to pop off now. Bam, there goes my arsenal. You look at that, and that's what I think this is. I think this is a bear trap in the snow, just waiting for somebody to not see it fall into that, and then from there, you do the kill shot. Now let's talk about Drake as far as this is concerned. He's dropped 4 projects since 2021. Certified Lover Boy coming in 2021, then Honestly Never Mind, June of 2022, Her Loss, November of 2022, For All the Dogs and Scary Hours in 2023. Maybe For All the Dogs in 2023. He might have did the Scary Hours at the top of the year. I can't remember. But I don't think he's going to get too active anytime soon. I don't think it would lend itself to any kind of favorable outcome for him. If we want to talk about mid, I think what he's been dropping as far as what he's been doing in his activity, a lot of that shit was mid as well. And on top of it, oversaturation. So now there's not really too many people who are like, damn, we ain't heard from Drake in a minute. Now, the exact opposite of that is a Kendrick Lamar who makes you damn near forget what's going on and then all of a sudden you want to pop out. That also could, you know, cause a negative effect on what you got going on. But when you get overactive and nothing is really groundbreaking or shaking the world up from the quote-unquote biggest artists in the world, that's kind of... It's kind of letting people know where the focus is at. Might not be on the bars, might be on the business side of things and whatever. If you're successful over there, then that might be the end game and do what you do. But I don't see him getting active. He might just continue to go this rant route, which he did at a recent concert. You know, these guys are on tour right now. I'm not sure if Cole is still involved in it, but at a recent stop, Drake made sure to give his thoughts and opinions on the state of the culture at this point. This is what he had to say.
A lot of people ask me how I'm feeling. I'm going to let you know how I'm feeling. Listen, the way I'm feeling is the same way I want you to walk out of here feeling tonight about your fucking self. Because you know how I'm feeling? I got my fucking head up high, my back straight, I'm 10 fucking toes down in Florida or anywhere else I go, and I know that no matter what, it's not a nigga on this earth that can ever fuck with me in my life. And that's how I want you to walk out of here tonight. But in order to, you know, get yourself all gassed up, riled up, and move towards the future, sometimes...
We don't need to even go any deeper into that. Now, when he says a statement like this, this don't sound like what you were saying speech-wise to Cole, right? I thought he was right there. I thought y'all neck and neck, y'all, you know, peers in this game. But when you come out with that much... ferocity in your voice, right? And you're saying nobody in this world could fuck with me. All right, well, see who you choose to align yourself with, Cole. The Spider-Man meme is Drake looking at me or me looking at Drake, however you deliver that shit, right? Well, now he's kind of trying to say to you, you might not be in in the same realm, right? So that's who you're dealing with. Another reason why I feel like the ball is now in J. Cole's court. Played the clip of these subs. They've been going off. Some of them that I caught, some of them that I did not. You've been poking the bear for a minute now. Currently in album mode. Actually in the recording process. You got all these little snippets and vlogs going on as part of the rollout. I placed you at number one, not only for your actor streak, but for the potency of your work as of late. And then have always, like I said, given you the nod for what you were able to do for others. Not just people under your label either. Some people who you've given features to and shed light on their projects when maybe that light was dimming a little bit in the court of public opinion. I think Drake gets saved once again by the fact that Cole is going to be the first to fire back. Now, if that isn't the case and Kendrick ends up being the person who comes with another one, his own back-to-back type hype, that could bode very negatively for both of the other artists in this exchange. But if you ask me, I think Cole has a full clip of heat for whoever the fuck jumps out first. I think he's got both of them in his scopes. He's ready to fire back with top-tier shots, not just this bear trap, like I said in the past. Whoever raises their gun, I think he's ready to neutralize the threat. Fully expect Drake to fall back and watch the exchange and switch routes altogether. If you ask me, he's going to get back on his singy song shit, get back to his pop. But if I'm Cole and I'm in album mode, and if I didn't have a song like this already on my album, if I had two or three songs where it was the subliminal route once again, maybe we might have to switch things around a bit. This is the time for you to fire back not only at a Cole, excuse me, not only at a Kendrick, but maybe also at that guy who knows that there's not a person in this world that can fuck with him, huh?
What the feezy?
You got to come now with a track on this album that's a flurry of direct shots. Maybe it's not just directed at Kendrick. Maybe you start doing your own control type hype and you come at everybody who might think that they might be in that discussion. Whether the world feels that way or you know it's just them. Feels like you semi did that on the first person shooter, you know, with the, not the two or the three on the UNO. But then you're on that tour with Drake and again, that's that blemish, getting that fake praise from someone that when he's finally tested and not just giving that pat on the back and a smiley face, let's y'all really know how he feels. Take some of the firepower away from your UNO line. Tell you that much. Now, Future has another album that's slated to drop, I believe, next week. If that's the case and there's another attack, I'm not sure if it's going to be from Kendrick again, but if he does, once again aligned with Future and Metro and just seemed to start, you know, forming their own little crew of Avengers. I think it could either be that, but I wouldn't even, you know, if I had to be a betting man, I'm not thinking that that's going to be the case. I'm thinking that the other motherfuckers who are ops to Drake or whoever's on that side of things may be looking at this like, oh, let's do the remix. I don't see Kendrick doing it only for the fact that you've let Future capitalize off of this the first go around. Like That is now the highest stream track first week since 2020. We know that, you know, Drake has got a lot of people who are not the biggest fans of him out there right now. A Pusha T, a Kanye West. There's a lot of people who could, you know, add their name to that pot. I could see the other artists maybe hopping on it. Do I see Pusha hopping on a remix? I don't know. I think he might go on a Kendrick song and go at Drake. But I could definitely see Kanye hopping on the hype of this Like That track like we've seen in the past. I put on, you know what I mean, him and Jeezy. Hop on a remix, deliver his dose, and try to, you know, feed off of that as well. Another thought to why that could be the case is Kanye, I guess, allegedly posted today, No More Parties in L.A. on his story. Song from the Life of Pablo album featuring Kendrick Lamar. I could see that remix happening. Might be a reach, I know. But I don't see Metro and Future turning it down if it's offered. Now, all those predictions are best case scenario, in my opinion. It could be worst case, and it could be that nobody responds. Or it could be that Cole and Drake come out with another song not addressing anything. That could just be, you know, they're, oh, we ain't worried about you. That would be a mistake in a lot of different ways. But it would also be disappointing for us as consumers and fans. We shall see. One thing that's for sure is this is merely the beginning of something that I expect to last long throughout the summer, whether there's responses or not. Now on to a more serious story and definitely more important in the grand scheme of things. Thoughts and prayers out to Baltimore, Maryland. Yesterday morning, 1:28 a.m. to be exact, the Francis Scott Key Bridge was struck by a Singapore-flagged container ship, which in turn compromised a pillar of the bridge and caused the collapse. The story from the Singapore ship is saying that the loss of propulsion on the ship rendered it uncontrollable, which in turn caused the collision. The bridge, which has two lanes of traffic each way, was above one of the country's busiest ports. And it's being reported that at the time of the collapse, the water in that river underneath it was at 47 degrees Fahrenheit. Apparently a Mayday call was made at 1:26 a.m., only 2 minutes before the collision, which had me scratching my head. How are you able to, and what they said, you know, put out a Mayday call? They understand that they lost power, dropped anchors as part of the emergency procedure. All of this was done, but in 2 minutes prior to a collision is when that Mayday call is sent out. Authorities attempted to stop traffic and did so as far as, you know, not allowing anybody else to enter. The time of night that this, you know, happened might be a silver lining to a horrible story based on the fact that maybe it was less traffic on there, along with the fact that, you know, take this with a grain of salt, there was construction being done on the bridge as well. Crew of workers were out attempting to fix potholes, which were among some of the people who became victims of this. Divers were part of a rescue effort, along with Coast Guard boats and helicopters, trying to find and recover those who may have been on the bridge. It was reported that there were two people who were actually pulled out of the water. One with some light injuries, another that was seemingly fine. Definitely want to, again, offer the thoughts and prayers. And this isn't the time for any type of conspiracy theories, but it just, you know, some of this story seems a little fishy. Not the time, not the place, I'll let the YouTubers do that and just you know, see what they come up with. Definitely a sad story. Seeing when, you know, this press conference is going down and the young mayor is there trying to answer questions. Seems like the questions are based around the wrong type of topic. People are asking, well, what is, you know, the timetable for repairing the bridge? And, you know, what are the plans for the bridge reconstruction? And as a human would respond, the mayor is like, hey, man, there are bodies in this water right now. It should be the focal point of everybody. Not a repair of a bridge. It's just the world we live in, apparently. If we're talking about the world we live in, can't be escaped.
It was all good just a week ago. Last week I had everybody. Had the money.
Unprofessional as fuck podcast.
And the jewelry. And then my motherfucking niggas start snitching.
Yeah. Yes. Growing up in the hood, just my dog and me. We used to hustle in the hood for all to see. Problems, I called on him. He called
it appears
on
the
me.
End is near for but Sean Combs. Very exaggerated and elaborate raid was conducted from the Homeland Security along with federal agents on one of his cribs. Something definitely very telling about what's going on. Seems like all the money in the world sometimes can absolve you from certain things. May not be the case for all, but definitely in this one. What I mean by that? Well, I'll let the news tell you.
We're inside that mansion at the time that DHS or Department of Homeland Security made entry into this mansion and onto this property. And you saw the juxtaposition of these heavily armed vehicles and those very expensive luxury cars that are parked right on that driveway right there. So clearly a very different sight than we're used to seeing. But there you see some of the people that were inside that mansion at the time of the raid. They are being talked to by investigators, by people from the Department of Homeland Security. I could see they're getting their pictures taken as well. So maybe they don't know who, you know, they're looking for or who they have in front of them at this point. But again, part of the process of gathering information as to who in particular was on the grounds at the time that they made entry into during this raid. So if we do have a vantage point from the ground there, I'm not sure if we have a ground.
Sure didn't. But they did have the eyes in the sky, helicopters, you know, all this was done broad daylight during the day, which a lot of people were looking at as maybe that was done for a purpose. This is an instance for me where it really doesn't matter. What's interesting to me, though, and what's very telling about who we're dealing with is while Diddy's spot was being raided, his children were also being detained during the search, handcuffed. Combs himself was MIA. TMZ did their job. You know how they do. They find out the guy was at a party the night prior in Miami, looking a little bit nervous. Then they track down where his private plane would be, right? And, of course, it's in the Caribbean off the off the Caribbean islands in Antigua. Interesting to note that they have a no extradition clause. Also important to note that he was spoken to by agents where his alleged drug mule was also taken into custody. Brendan Paul, 25-year-old former Ohio basketball player turned eight ball holder, was arrested at Opa-locka Airport while attempting to board a plane with none other than Diddy himself. Crazy, right?
Scandalous.
Seems like they were looking to take the weak links out of the areas where they could be detained, arrested, and you know, ultimately reached and interrogated, I guess, right? You don't want the people who are going to be the first ones to spill the beans being anywhere where they could be grabbed. Now, if you ask me, Mr. Brendan Paul might have been lucky and caught a break by being arrested at that tarmac. Because do you think there's really a reason to keep the guy around over there in Antigua? I don't know. That's just my pessimistic mind. Diddy apparently has sold shares of his, or the remaining shares that were his, to the Revolt channel to an anonymous buyer. Fire sale, I'm sure, of a lot of different ventures this guy's got going on at the time. Gonna need some money at your disposal, right? You're gonna have to liquidate some of these things. Definitely gonna do a Patreon this weekend and discuss it further. But it just looks like it's all gonna come falling down on this guy. When you got Homeland Security and federal agents investigating human trafficking, the writing seems to be on the wall. These guys don't have a bad shooting percentage. They usually have a clear-cut case before they even make a move. And maybe they got to talk to the neighbor. Like, apparently this guy's driving off of the area where everything's going down, and he has something to say to reporters on his way out. This shit just, if anything is funny of this story, which not much is, this shit made me laugh. I ain't gonna lie.
Stop bringing all the miners over here late at night. I live right next to him.
He do too much. It be like buses, big ass buses. You just see all type of shit hop out. Especially at nighttime, like around 3 o'clock in the morning. It gets wild. I'm his neighbor. When my basketball go over there, I just let it be because I don't want him knock on the ball.
If my basketball go over there, I just let it be. Smart move, my guy. Definitely all coming down on, around this guy, Diddy. And it's deservingly so.
The world don't stop, I got to keep on. From there I sensed the beef was on. I ran to the spot store.
It was all good just a week ago.
On my phone to see if I had bugs and leeches on my phone. Can't be too safe.
Funny little part to this story. This comes 27 years after the release of Kick in the Door. When Diddy's doors were kicked in, right?
It was all good just a week ago. Funny what?
Seven days could change.
A stand up nigga, now you sit down to aim.
I don't know, man. Just the beginning. I'm not talking about just the Drake and Kendrick beef, just all that little rap shit going on. This is just the beginning, of my opinion, of a lot of heads that are gonna roll following this investigation on Diddy. Big part of the reason why I'm playing the Jay-Z track right now is because if any of this shit comes out, man, they're talking about Jay's next. Oh, man. Letting y'all know right now, I will stop doing the podcast and not look at any media if that's the case. You're not going to take this discography from you motherfuckers, but hey, hopefully that's not the case. We shall see what happens in the very near future. Shit is looking like it's getting fucking crazy out here. And it's just the beginning. Just the beginning. Want to wrap it up now. Episode 233 in the books. Definitely going to get the Patreon. Going to get a sports show cracking very soon. Also going to have some guests come through as well. There was ever a time where content was not going to be at a shortage. It is now. So definitely be on the lookout for the next show's Patreon where we could really discuss shit. It's about to get crazy.
If you like that. Pop another bottle if you like that.
These niggas talking out of their neck. Don't put no coughing out of your mouth. I'm way too paranoid for threats. Hey, let's get it, bro. D.O.T. the money, power, respect.
The last one is better.
Say yes, a lot of goofies with a check.
I mean, I hold them sentiments symbolic. My temperament bipolar.
Gotta let y'all know I did grab this instrumental. There's a lot of different versions on YouTube. I'm tracking down the very best one. I put a poll out. I asked y'all for the La Familia tier Friday dropping. I said, y'all want a freestyle or y'all want some written? A lot of y'all said freestyle. The majority said freestyle. While I had already had some dope ass written shit down. So with that being said, y'all probably gonna get both of them this Friday. Patreon, La Familia tier if y'all like that. Till next time, find what makes you happy and return the favor. I'ma holla at y'all later.
It's just big me, nigga. Boom. I'm really like that. And your best work is a light pack, nigga. Prince outlived Mike Jack, nigga. Boom. For all your dogs getting buried, that's okay with all these nines. He gon' see Pet Cemetery, nigga.
I'm professional as fuck, dog, feeling, selling dope.